I did not pick the lectionary reading for this morning. I wanted to focus with Lloyd Larson here on the gift of music that God has given us. And so the title of the message this morning, and I struggled with wording this, but I finally came up with how music nurtures faith and transforms us. And I only have one reading of Scripture, but it's from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16. It's a story that I first became very fond of in Vacation Bible School, and we learned some fun songs about Paul and Silas. I won't share that song with you this morning or sing it, but here's the reading in Acts 16, just a terrific story. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, speak to your servants this morning. Meet each person here at their point of need, especially as we consider today your gift of music, this means of grace that you have given to us. O Lord, and may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight and give you glory. Amen. If someone were to ask you, what's your favorite commandment from the Bible? That's an odd question, but what commandment would you pick? Would you pick one of the ten? That would be kind of odd. Thou shalt not steal, that's my favorite commandment. But what would you pick? I have always been fond of Jesus saying, "Go and make disciples." As a matter of fact, until I came to this church, and I do evangelism in this church, and we make disciples here, but until I came here, part of my sole title as a minister, wherever I've been, has been that of an evangelist. I have always wanted to help a church grow and include people and see the joy that people receive in being included and welcome in a Christian community. It gives me joy to follow that kind of commandment. Go and make disciples. But a lot of times we think of the commands in the Bible as obligations. A lot of times we think of them as burdens. But of course, from God's perspective, His commandments are there to help us, to protect us, to show us compassion, to give us joy, if you will, that we can live lives that are joyous and purposeful. And I have felt that in that call to go and make disciples. But I want to suggest to you this morning, and you won't be surprised by this on this particular weekend with it being our composer weekend, that one of our favorite commands should be to sing to the Lord. And yes, it's a command. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise." That's emphatic. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, over 40 times, the psalmist commands us to sing. As a matter of fact, the most associated word with the word song or sing in the psalmist is the word new. And oftentimes the psalmist says, "Go and sing a new song unto the Lord." However, as I shared to our staff this past Monday, there are times in life in which we don't feel like singing. And I get that. You get that. I told a story this past Monday, and Stephanie and Paul didn't remember. I told it a number of years ago here. It's a story about a little songbird who was having a very difficult time. A woman owned him as her pet parakeet, and his name, of all things, was Chippy, because he seemed to chip, chip, chip all day long, and this gave the woman joy. It made her day brighter to hear her little parakeet, Chippy. But one day, she was cleaning his cage, and she had her cell phone up to her ear, and she turned, and all of a sudden, she heard, sloop. She had one of those big canister vacuums, and she knew immediately what had happened. And so she tore open the bag, the vacuum bag, and there was Chippy, feathers all ruffled and covered with dust, feathers ragged, and she took him, ran to the bathroom, put him under the faucet, shook him, gave him a bath, took out the blow dryer, put it on high, and then she put him back on his perch in the cage. A few days later, the woman was talking by phone to her daughter who was at college, and she told her daughter what had happened and how horrible she felt and how embarrassed she was. And her daughter said, "Well, Mom, how's Chippy doing?" And she said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits there and stares at me." It's no wonder Chippy had a difficult time. I want to put all joking aside and say this to you. I want to say lovingly to you this morning that sometimes Paul Means and I, sometimes our Stephen ministers, sometimes you as ministers in this church, you have had a conversation with someone, and it has been, when you listen to them, as if the song had gone out of their hearts because of something that had happened to them, some difficult experience. And in that conversation, you could sense that that had happened to them, that the song had gone out of their hearts. And there are those who feel at times that they have been placed in chains by trouble, by circumstances, perhaps by illness and disease. And when that happens, there can be a season of time in which they do not feel like singing or tapping their feet or humming. And I get that. You get that. However, I want to make the case this morning that music and singing, which are truly means of grace from God, they can nurture us, they can comfort us, they can heal us, they can redeem us, because they remind us how God has chosen and transformed his people throughout time. Some years ago now, one of our members came up to me on Easter Sunday morning, just before worship. And although he had suffered the loss of his beloved wife, he had suffered her loss. Mary Ann was her name. She had died sometime before. He walked up to me on that Easter Sunday morning. He shook my hand, and with great confidence and joy, he said, "This is the day the Lord has made." And I responded to him, "And we will rejoice and be glad in it." He couldn't help but shout and almost sing his faith in that Easter response. So much of the Bible has been put to music. So much of it is for the purpose of being sung, like in the book of the Psalms. It's not a book just for reading, it's a book for singing, and you have to remember it like that. David and other singers recorded many moods in the Psalms. They sang, of course, of sorrow. They sang of their trust in God. They sang of God's faithfulness in times of distress. They sang at times when they could only sit down by the riverside and weep. They couldn't help but sing. And so this morning I want to look at some of the ways that God's grace, this means of grace, music, has been extended to us, to God, to nurture us and to transform our life as we think about the providence of God and how God has worked in our lives, in the church, in the community, in the world. First, think that music, remember music helps us to handle stress. It can provide healing, and it's calming, soothing. I find that to be the case for me in all those categories. Handle stress, healing, and calming. King Saul in the Old Testament, he knew that. He was a strong king, but we are told he was troubled by depression. And from time to time, he would have the little shepherd boy, David, come and play on his harp. And when David would do that, it would soothe the king of his troubles. I've always wondered what King Saul's favorite psalms were that he had David sing. Perhaps it was 121. That's one of my favorites. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And it goes on, so beautiful, so melodic. The Bible records that whenever David played and sang, Saul, King Saul, felt better. God has given us the gift of music, and this gift, it also, scientists and doctors, researchers have discovered it has a medicinal benefit. It heals our anxious spirits. As a matter of fact, in preparation for this sermon, I listened to several talks on YouTube and in other places about how John Hopkins has a medical research center, a department, that studies the impact and the therapeutic benefit of music and healing. And they've spent a considerable amount of research doing this. So they have discovered that, of course, music can alter our moods, our emotions, you knew that. But it also provides healing benefits for people with mental health issues, such as depression, anxiety, and addiction. And they have learned there is a strong connection between music and the brain's neural pathways. As a matter of fact, they're finding benefit in therapies for people who suffer from Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and a number of other disorders. Music has such transformative power. I remember growing up, one of my favorite baseball players was Oral Hershiser. I just treasured Oral Hershiser. And he was born just a little before me. A famous major league pitcher he became. And I remember watching him on television. And when I was a teenager and played baseball, I dreamed and visioned that one day I would be able to catch the great Hershiser. That was a dream of mine. Never happened. But in about 1988, I'll never forget this, it hit me like a rock. You can imagine how it would hit any Presbyterian. Hershiser was the guest on a late-night television show, you may remember it, The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. Carson hosted that TV show for 3 decades. And Carson asked Hershiser how he dealt with stress when he was in the big game, when he was down in the count and walking around the mound, and perhaps they were thinking about taking him out, or there was a big hitter at bat. How would he handle that stress? And Hershiser said to Carson, he said, I would step off the mound and I would sing a little song to myself that I learned in Sunday school and worship. And then I would step back on the mound and I would throw the ball and let him have it. And Carson, being Carson, said, well, would you mind just sharing a little bit of that song for us tonight? And I'll never forget it. This is what he would sing when he would step off the mound. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The doxology. So music helps us to handle stress. It provides healing. It can transform us. It travels on our mental neurons. There's a path in there for music that helps us. But it also, like this picture, it empowers us in our living. It gives us confidence and strength and hope. And note, secondly, that music helps us to express and reinforce our faith. I hope that happens to you this afternoon. I hope your faith is strengthened and reinforced. The truth be known, we may actually learn more about faith in Christ from our music and songs, just as we do from sermons and scriptures. I read this week there won't be any preaching in heaven. It'll be only singing. I'd never heard that before, but I'll be glad, I can assure you. There are countless examples, by the way, of how singing helps people and shapes their faith. I'm remembering this morning an old Negro spiritual about the slaves when they were living in harsh conditions. They would sing, "Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus." And when they sang it, they meant it. Or imagine those choirs in those medieval cathedrals, how giant they are in some cities. They were chanting in Latin, and the music finally broke free in the Protestant Reformation. And they weren't just then choirs singing, just the priest, but the people took over the worship service. And imagine the first time the crowds came in and sang in the common language, "A mighty fortress is our God." I can't even imagine that. But what a wonderful day that would have been. Thirdly, music and singing helps us to overcome darkness and trials that we face. And that's why I love the story from the book of Acts this morning about Paul and Silas. We read that it was about midnight and they were praying, they were singing hymns to God, and they were imprisoned in the innermost part of the prison. Did you note that? The innermost part. And then there was that violent earthquake while they were singing, and the prison was so shaken that everyone became free of their chains and bonds. Can you imagine the look on the faces of those prisoners as they walked past Paul and Silas, who probably were still singing? They learned, as we can, that prayer and singing a song about Christ, even in the night and the darkness, can help to free us from that which we feel binding us. And finally, always remember this morning that singing and music helps us as we take this Lenten journey to Easter. It helps us to celebrate the victory that we are promised in advance. In advance. And you know what I mean. This world is tough. Sometimes we look out and it appears that evil is winning in our world. It's a sad world at times. But then there come hymns and songs of faith that are based on Holy Scripture, and they are different from songs in the culture for sure. And they promise that if we follow Christ, there will be victory at the end, a day when there will be no disease, no disorder, and no terror, no death. Death will be no more. Thinking about my stepfather's death a few weeks ago, it reminded me of my father-in-law's death some years back, Fred Kinfield, Joyce's dad. And I remember one Sunday afternoon driving from here down to the hospital in St. Pete, where he was in very, very poor condition. And the first thing he said to me when I came in his room, he said, "Well, what did you sing today in worship?" Fred was a funeral director for 60 years, for those that don't know, a very faithful churchgoer. And I said to him, "Well, one of the songs we sang was one of my favorites, Now We Thank All Our God." And Fred shut his eyes and he finished that stanza. "Now we thank all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things he hath done, in whom our heart rejoices, who from our mother's womb has blessed us on our way, with countless gifts of love that still are ours today." As you come to the table of our Lord this morning, claim the victory in advance. Every Sunday as we travel through Lent is a little Easter, and we remember that Lenten theme that we live, we die, and we rise again. And this table, my friends, is a table of celebration of just that. And so I encourage you to claim that victory in advance. Let us pray as we come to the table. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks that you invite us to come to this table. You invite us to come even when we are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and you promise to give us rest. You invite us to take your yoke, your burden upon ourselves and learn from you, For you tell us that you are gentle and humble in heart, and in you we will find rest for all our souls. And Lord, as we come to this table today, and just before we hear these words of institution, we continue to pray for our world. O Lord, our God, in Jesus you revealed your love. Jesus taught those who would hear him. He healed those who believed in him. And he received all who sought him. And he lifted from them the burden of their sin. And we remember his great gifts as we come to this table. And we pray now in his name. Amen.